What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, 15th Annual Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update. And it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Richard Andrassy. This episode will be at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/RichardAndrassy2016. And so just for the record, can you please spell your name so everybody knows what
I'm talking about? Sure. It's A-N-D-R-A-S-S-Y, first name Richard.
All right. So one of the things that I heard in there is you are a retired colonel from the Air Force.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. So before we get to any of the stuff about hernias that you talked about in there, just tell me a little bit about your military career. I really have a heart for the people who serve our country to protect me and my family. So.
Well, thank you. I went to Virginia Military Institute right at the beginning and startup of Vietnam. And since I was 1P pilot, I had to do pilot training. I was fortunate that even though I was doing that and got my license in 1966, I was allowed by the Air Force on active duty to go to medical school. And subsequent to that in medical school, I went to Lackland Air Force Base, Wolford Hall Medical Center in San Antonio, where I did all my training in general vascular surgery, and then went to LA for a few years, still on active duty. So actually I was a lieutenant colonel before I finished my training. And then I went from there to be a chief of surgery at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi. So I've been training residents for many years and had the opportunity to work on the C-130 AeroVacs and had a good experience. I had a lot of operative experience at a young age because of being in the military.
All right, so I've recommended people who are interested in doing physical therapy to look into the military. Dave Ramsey talks about there's only two ways to do medical school for free, and that's either the military or find a company that'll pay you for it as long as you, indenture service, basically. So what are your thoughts about someone who wants to be a doctor and joining the military?
Well, I mean, if you're independently wealthy and or your family's very wealthy, you don't really have to deal with that. But that wasn't the case for me, so I went to college on a baseball scholarship and played other sports as well. And then my military time, I went on right on active duty and was on active duty while I was a medical student. So I was getting paid like a captain, and all my tuition, everything was paid for. I did pick up a commitment after that, but the training was very good, so I got to do a lot of almost all my training in the Air Force except for the 3 years out in L.A., so I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I've got a lot of military medical students working with us right now, as well as doctors that are on active duty that come back to upgrade their training in trauma and such.
All right. And again, thank you for serving and protecting me and my family.
Thank you.
Okay, so you talked about sports hernias and management of sports hernias. So can you give me maybe a top three or four lists of things that you do to identify sports hernias?
Well, first of all, the most important thing is talking and listening to the patient, because a lot of times they'll describe what happened, when it started, how long it's been going on, what they've done to try to relieve the pain first. You should always try to do non-operative management first. Obviously, there's nothing better than your own tissues. Then after that, if you really believe that the patient is having chronic pain, and most of these people really want to get back to their level of athletics that they were at before, whether they're weekend warriors or professional athletes. And so then in that case, if you really believe they're having pain, then it's a matter of examining them, looking for point tenderness, trying to get an idea of where they hurt the most. There are a few studies you can order if you're unsure, if it's coming from the hip or the back, things like MRI of the hip. Occasionally, I'll work with our orthopedic surgeons when we think it may be a combined injury. I mean, it's possible to have a sports hernia and a labral tear, for example. But most of the time, you don't really know what they've damaged till you get in there and explore it. And I explain that to the patients first, that I might not know exactly what I need to do till I take a look.
You mean with surgery?
Right. We go in through a small incision, and it's takes about a half an hour, and then they go home about an hour later. You got to remember, most of these people are pretty good shape because they're athletes, and so they're not on a lot of medications, and most of them aren't smokers. Most of them aren't overweight. So they're a very actually a healthy group to operate on because they don't have a lot of comorbidity.
Gotcha. All right. So in the athletic training room, what are some things? Obviously, I can't do MRIs and I can't do surgery. So what are some of the best things that I can do to identify a hernia and send them on to you?
I think the first thing is to find out where they're hurting and then initially try to see if you can relieve the pain by anti-inflammatories prior to the next workout, 45 minutes or so before, warming the area either with warm soaks or in a tub of water or whatever you need to do, and then icing it when they come back in from workout and see if you can relieve it with non-operative technique. Then the other thing is that we're seeing how it bothers them. If you stretch out the leg, if you move them in different positions, where does it hurt? If they stand up, sometimes it only hurts when they're standing for a while or if they're stretching. So I think the thing that you can do in the training room is find out exactly where it hurts, how long it has been there, and what they've done. Use the same things that I was talking about earlier that are not operative, but you can get most of the patients might get better without doing anything except warmth, anti-inflammatories, and cooling, excuse me. And then occasionally, if it's real pinpoint, you can have they can come in for shots. But most of the time, that will only give temporary relief if they have a real bad injury.
All right. Okay, so just to kind of cover that over again, you said ask really good questions. Find out where they're hurting, what makes it hurt, how long, if it's only after certain activities. So those are the questions to ask, and some of the best ways to treat it in the athletic training room, if I suspected that, then would be trying anti-inflammatories before exercise.
Right.
Warm whirlpool or something like that before activity, and icing afterwards.
Correct. And then physical therapy and stretching when they can feel better.
Okay. All right, so then at what point do I know that I need to send them on?
I think that's really the hardest question for anybody because you'd like to try to treat them non-operatively, and then you've got to see how bad it bothers them and whether or not they're willing to give up that activity to relieve the pain, or doing that is either their livelihood or means a lot to them even if they're a weekend athlete. So once you've determined that non-operative measurements haven't done anything, even rest for a couple of weeks, or it's the off season and they can't get better, then I think if this has been persistent for X amount of time, and that's hard to know. I mean, it could be 3 months, it could be when you saw JJ, they knew immediately when he fell down that he was in severe pain, and they wanted to get him back in a hurry. If you see a lot of the athletes, they need to get back and get operated on early so they can then rehabilitate to get back for practice. And for a lot of these kids, even if they're just going to college on a scholarship, their whole life is going to depend on getting that free scholarship and at least getting back to actively playing.
So we're talking to Dr. Richard Andrazi. You guys should have heard his lecture talking about sports hernias. And so do you guys have any questions that you have thought of? Do you write anything down?
Do you get a lot of confusions with regular hernias and athletic pubalgia?
Yes, I think that's a good question because that's the problem. A lot of people with groin pain, the question basically was, is there a lot of confusion between hernias and sports hernias or athletic pubalgia, better name than sports hernias? And the answer is yes, because a lot of people have pain. They go to or sent to a doctor or a surgeon that are not familiar with the entity. So they say, you don't have a hernia, and they ship them out. And then they still have pain. And so then they're searching all the time. And so to be honest with you, I have found that physical therapists, trainers, And a few orthopedic surgeons know more about it now than almost anybody that's practicing, your family practitioners or your surgeons that are doing hernias all the time, because they don't understand what the entity is. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to find it. So there's a lot of confusion that way. Very few patients that have a true sports hernia or athletic pubalgia have a real hernia.
All right, so do you have any tips for us? Again, if it's generally in the pubic area, pubalgia, something like that, I'm not dealing with it too much in an adolescent.
Yeah, we see adolescents, we see the college, the pros, and older athletes, like one guy I talked about, 71, is very active. I think you can find out if they have point tenderness somewhere. Hernias, generally, most of the people I see, and I do a lot, like I mentioned in there, I did about 8,000 hernias in the last 14 years, okay? And most of them that come in do not have pain. They come in with a lump, or they notice they had a little bulge when they went to a shower or so like that. Occasionally they can have pain if it involves the nerves, but if you have somebody that has persistent pain in the groin or tenderness where you push somewhere, push on the adductor tubercle or you push on the groin and there's no lump or anything there, then start thinking about that they have athletic pubalgia or groin disruption or whatever you want to call it. Okay.
What else you guys got?
So in a couple of my clinical education assignments, we had some guys with bilateral sports hernias. So is that a pretty common occurrence? Or?
For whatever reason, most of the time it's unilateral, but I have seen bilateral, and depends on what they're doing, okay? What happens sometimes, they will have a hernia or have an injury on one side. Let's just call it an injury. And then they keep trying to work through it, so they guard that area, and they wind up damaging the other side. So I've had, and I'm more, let's just say I try to not be as aggressive in like junior high school and high school as I would with college or pros, okay? And the reason for that is that you don't want to do too much to a young kid that has a lot of growth to do yet because of the scarring. If they really have, I do a lot of high school kids, but I'd really try to talk the family out of it and make sure that they're not pushing the kid too hard. But the answer is yes, I do bilateral, but I'd say 90% of the ones I do are unilateral.
If you did have someone with lumps, would you say to wait and see if that goes away? Or
with a real hernia?
I mean, like, let's say someone just says, I have like a lump near the groin area. Would you say wait?
No, what I would do is you would see if it really is there all the time, or it comes and goes when they cough or something like that. And then, thank you. Then the other thing is you tell them that if they can push it back in and it stays in, you can wait until after the season's over. So if they're a high school or a college football player and they got a lump there and they got five more games and it's not hurting real bad, you can wait until the season's over, and then, but it'll never go away by itself. So they need to go see a surgeon at some point. And a lot of surgeons know how to treat hernias, real hernias, umbilical hernias, inguinal hernias, and all, but not many understand sports hernias. And truthfully, I'll have to admit that I didn't understand it until I'd been doing even though I've done hernias for 45 years, really, like I said, it's been the last 14 or 15 years that I concentrated on doing hernias that I really learned the anatomy of the groin well enough to understand that this is a real entity and they have pain and there's multiple causes for it. Questions?
Yes, there's some good questions. Any other final thoughts, athletic trainers or future athletic trainers?
I think athletic trainers, physical therapists, and all need to educate the rest of the community and the athletes, and if need be, doctors, that this is a real entity that hurts. And I think I use that example of J.J. Watt. You know, he lives through any kind of pain, and he fell down in severe pain. You think he was faking it? And he had a groin injury, and you'll see it at various levels. But I think it's an entity that's misunderstood, and it's going to be on you all, really, to educate other people about it.
All right, so what is your best resource for us to share?
If you look on the internet, there's a million articles about this, but a lot of them are not, they're older, and people are just starting to understand this better. Okay, so I think there are a couple textbooks now on sports hernias, but I think that's maybe overkill for what you need to know. And I think that just being aware of the process, looking a little bit at the anatomy, that, you know, we want to get onto the interesting stuff, not looking at all the nerves and all the stuff. Just understand enough about that so you can explain it to your athletes or their parents. A lot of times I spend more time trying to deal with the parents about it if they're a high school athlete or junior high school. So I think there's plenty of stuff and pictures on the internet that you can look at.
Is there no particular source?
Not really. I mean, I'm happy if anybody gets questions and want to email me at UT, that my email address was on that thing, but it's also on the UT website. I'm happy to send stuff to people.
So go to the UT website, or you could probably just Google search Dr. Richard.
Oh, yeah. It's all there, and it says UT Medical School, and it's got my email address and everything on it, and I'd be happy to get people information.
All right, very good. Well, Dr. Andrassy, thank you for joining us again. This is Sports Medicine Broadcast / Richard Andrassy 2016, and that's where you'll find this, and I'll hopefully get that email address posted on there so that it, again, is easy for people to click on it right there. So,
wonderful.
Again, thank you for your service, and thank you for the interview and for the information about sports hernias.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Good luck. I think it's cool.